conscious. They hum and they chant, recite the name of a Hindu god over and over and over again, things like that. Well, they believe that there's this life force that courses through their body along lines called meridians, and it's centered in chakra centers and all of this, and it flows down their arm and comes through their finger and back through their thumb and makes a loop there, see? So they gotta keep their fingers close to each other as they're meditating. If you open your fingers, it's kind of like unplugging yourself, and so that's... God is impersonal. There's no personal God. There's just this image. Yeah, you know, the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is God, and the creation is the creation. They're two separate things. I'm awfully glad for that. But, you know, if you don't want to serve God, if you don't want to believe that there's a God to whom you are accountable, there are two ways you can get rid of him. Number one, you can make everything God. Or number two, you can make nothing God. Secularism and naturalism and materialism, they just believe the cosmos is whole, that there is no ever will be. The idea that there is no God at all, but in this religious sense, they said God, and they make God everything that is. That way God is separate. God is the creation. The mountains are God. The skies are God. The wind is God. The heart is God. The platform is God. The podium is God. I'm God, you're God. Everything is God. Shirley MacLaine stands on the seashore there and she's saying, I am God! And she's trying to convince herself, I am God! And her teacher's sitting there saying, come on, you gotta believe it. You gotta just shout it out, Jesus. I am God! I can imagine the infinite, the eternal God of the universe looking down on this. Here's God listening to this voice.
Of cause and effect. In other words, if you're a bad person in this life, you're gonna would be really bad off in this life. You're going to have to suffer in this life to work off all the bad stuff you did in this life.
And the people who live in India who have the money and the food and the shelter, they have everything they need to take care of those kids.
Walk right by them. Don't even do a thing to help them.
Why? Because of karma.
Oh, they must have done something bad in their prior life.
They're just going to have to work it off now.
That's why in India you have the caste system, the idea that that's your karma.
If you are born a beggar, that's your karma. You're meant to be a beggar. A beggar is all you ever be. You may as well be the best beggar you can be.
That's why the parents will often sever the fingers of their children, break their arm, cut off an arm, to make their children look more pitiful, so people will feel sorry for them, so they will be better beggars. Let's move on to the last one. That's cosmic consciousness. Now, truth is relative. God is impersonal. All is one. There is no death. Cosmic consciousness is the last one. That is the basic belief. Well, it's the practice, actually. It's an altered state of consciousness. It's a trance state. You can achieve it through drugs, meditation, yoga, hypnosis, biofeedback, sensory deprivation, all kinds of different ways to achieve it. It is basically... you go into a trance, into a relaxed state of mind, and finally you turn your whole being over to an outside force, an outside entity. And this is where all these weird psychic phenomena come from, because your brain is basically, it's like a computer. You, your spirit, happens to be the one in charge of that computer working the keyboard, all right? Now, in an altered state of consciousness, you're basically getting up from the keyboard and you're allowing a demon to sit down there. The demon begins to tweak off all the neurons in your brain. He creates entire universes of illusion in your mind. He gives you past life experiences. He gives you out-of-body experiences. He gives you clairvoyance. He gives you ESP. He gives you psychic powers. He gives you encounters with UFOs. He gives you whatever you want. If it can convince you that you can believe the biased doctrine, then buy the idea that you are God, that you have infinite wisdom within yourself. And there are people that believe it today.
Amen. Come on.
There's the representative of the whole human race, and I'm going to keep him. I'm going to make him buy into the lie. Come on, Anne, you want to be God? Hey, come on, you want to do your own thing? Have your own way? Make your own rules? I'll hand it to you, man, you can have it. And Anne went for it. He stumbled, he got into that thing. Here we all are. Jesus came and went into the same arena. He gave him the same line. And Jesus was our representative again. And who am I glad? Of this match was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He paid the ultimate price and he took it all. Out of obedience to God, he was a servant. That's the point. He took it all. And he didn't give it back. Instead of giving it back, he paid it off. Look at it this way. Here's a family on vacation. Oh, the dining in the garden. Sunny day, windows are rolled down, breeze is blowing in the car, the heavy eating time. This big old black bee comes in the window, buzzing around in the car. And little girl sitting in the back seat, she's allergic to bee stings. If she gets stung, she can die within an hour. Oh, Daddy, it's a bee, it's gonna sting me. The father, he's trying to pull the car over, he's trying to stop, he's trying to catch the bee. It comes around, he gets up against the windshield. Father catches it, gets the bee. There's the bee stinger in his hand. Look what Jesus has in his hand. The sting of degradation, the sting of defeat, Jesus took it all. That nail scar, realized he took it all. Thank you.